I just think when you watch the game, I don't know how anyone can look in that first quarter and put any of the pressure issues on Deshaun, other than maybe he should have tried to shorten up his drop back. At the same point, guys were getting him to him up the middle so much. What other choice did he have? So do you get sacked by Kayvon Thibodeau or do you get sacked by Dexter Lawrence?
Yeah, it got to be pretty embarrassing if you think about it. Blitzed on 57% of his dropbacks. Giants entered week three with blitzes of 25%. I had some other numbers attached to this as well if you want to hear them. I mean, they're kind of wild. 16 sacks total in three games. That's the most times sacked by a Browns quarterback. It just gets worse and worse. And within that game, it just gets worse and worse the more that you see it, to a point where you know that he's got problems. You know that he's got issues. He was sacked a ton in Houston, led the league in sacks in Houston as well. But how much can you actually put on Deshaun there?
Yeah, and I think, well, and so to kind of go with what you're saying, like there's a catch-22 here. If you think it's the offensive line, just do more jumbo sets. The problem is you're going to be limiting the amount of receivers you have out there, which is going to take away options for Deshaun.
Yeah. So,
okay. All right.
You can't talk about him not finding anyone that's open. And yes. By the way, the broadcast highlighted multiple plays where it's like, all right, now slow it down right here. And you can see how no one's open right now. And he's got no chance of being able to complete a play here.
So I look at it this way, because you actually came up. I was going to talk about, like, all right, how much is on the line? How much is on Deshaun? Which there's so many other factors in there. That's probably not a succinct enough question. So you came up with, Is this more than a Watson problem? And 216-474-0092, I think it is. And I do think all of their problems are like the snake eating its own tail. Like, I do think if just one thing got right, you'd see other things kind of fall right back in place. At the same point, I don't know how people watch the last 3 weeks and think it's just a Deshaun problem.
I'm right there with you. I feel like if you say it's just Deshaun, you're just... well, you're whistling past the graveyard is all you're doing there.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's more of that first on the moon thing.
Yeah.
I want to be the Neil Armstrong of saying that Deshaun has no chance of doing this.
I think you're right. I think there's a segment of the fan base that wants to be, because you don't want to be late on that. You don't be late. You don't be sitting there and Deshaun stinks and you're just like, I think he's still going to be good. No one wants to be that guy. But how is three games nearly enough? And when you watch this team, You see the problems. And even within the run game, can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah, that's bad.
We had 12, by running backs, we had 12 carries for 42 total yards.
And can I say, though, I think that's another problem with the offensive line. Because, and again, run fits and how you're supposed to run the ball does matter. But like, all right, and I think the way this has been set up for a while is you've got a bunch of elite run blockers and some guys who are pretty okay, like good, not great, as pass protectors, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if this is supposed to be the thing that you're great at, then even with run fit issues or communication issues, if you're running the ball, it's really just see guy, get guy. And so I don't think this is just about Jerome Ford or Deontay Foreman not being Nick Chubb. I think maybe we're seeing maybe part of that eliteness up front was that Nick Chubb made up for when you didn't have the right guy in the right block, in the right helmet.
I mean, that's going to be a chicken or the egg question I think we have for a long time with that. There's a lot of people that said Nick Chubb was the greatest running back we've ever seen. And then there's a lot of other people that were like, well, we have had the best offensive line in the sport next to the Dallas Cowboys for the previous 5 years.
Like, I think the simplest way to get this started is to fix up front. Because then if Deshaun has more time, or then if other problems persist.
What's the easy fix here, though? Because I know they're going to bring in a lot of different guys, but anyone at this point that they're going to acquire isn't going to be your answer there. Unless they get you're going to have like a Wyatt Teller when he was at Buffalo and then got traded here situation, where then we mold him into being awesome. Because I don't know that Andy Dickerson has the track record of that. What's your fix here?
I think you got to fix the interior of the offensive line first. And I think that's unfortunate because you owe some money to Ethan Posick. But I think the second half of that game, when Ethan slid over to left guard, I think Nick Harris got an audition, and I think he passed it. I think a lot of those communication issues, I don't want to say a lot of them, I think several of them were cleaned up when a different center came in. And at the same point, when Joel, has not played left tackle very often in his pro career during games, when he slid out to left guard, or with left tackle.
Yeah, I mean, you said you liked that. You liked that little setup that they had, the Petonio, Harris, Posick, Zinner, and DeJuan Jones one.
Yeah, I think that's where you start. And, well, okay.
And we spent so much time talking about the tackles, we didn't even get to the guard problems, and now we have guard problems.
The left tackle thing probably takes care of itself if Conklin is actually ready this week. But so
that's a big if, and he plays injured all the time.
Yeah, so I think that's where you start. But I do think, like, I think some of it's on play calling. Kevin's not comfortable. You can just tell. Like, even with that sequence of Jameis Winston on 3rd and 1, which was in no way imaginative. It was the most telegraphed play ever, so much so that I was like, it's a trick play. It's got to be, because we've only seen Jameis in this context.
I wondered if he was doing the zigging while everyone else was zagging type thing.
And then he zagged when they were zagging.
Right. And that was the problem, is that, I don't know, did they not watch the Jacksonville game last week? They were very unimpressed with the idea that he would take Jerome Ford and go on the outside and do something special. They were like, Jameis is going to do it.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to do the thing that he's going to do here, and it's not going to go well for them.
But to then follow that up with an RPO, even though the O-line had played better in the second half, specifically when the changes came out with Harris at center and Betonio at left tackle, to go with the RPO, and that's, it was just like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I do wonder, though, sometimes, because, again, we talk about the lineman that he was down and everything else, and the run game that really wasn't working and doing anything. Sometimes I think about, and we don't put it in this context, so I want to see if you agree or disagree. A lot of times in baseball, when you have relievers, and you have bad relievers playing, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, just he doesn't pull the right strings with the bullpen. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times with baseball coaches, it's just because they don't have the relievers to get the job done. In this instance, with Stefanski, we can talk about his play designs and his play calls, where we know he's usually his strength. Did he just not have the pieces to get it done?
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to set it up again. With how that game goes, a telegraphed third down play into you keep the offense on the field when you could have punted it, which Bohorquez has been your biggest asset this year,
sure,
and trust the defense.
Well, he's playing desperate at that point.
So, okay. So
he was.
So now, okay, first decision leads to second decision, but then the play is a play where, yes, Jordan Akins was open, but think about the context of that game. Deshaun sped up. Like, that's where, like, I hear what you're saying, but those three plays or those decisions row speak to a guy who's maybe not putting enough thought into what's the simplest way to do this. RPOs aren't some big fancy concept. But I don't know that scenario with a game on the line or with...
Listen, it was a bad Stefanski game, but the reason why we're not asking was it the worst Stefanski game that we ever coached is because we just did that 2 weeks ago. That was the question we just did 2 weeks ago. Was it the worst Stefanski game ever coached? You can't give me that twice in 3 weeks.
I believe he has.
I know, and so why in 5 years has he done the worst job, the two worst jobs we've ever seen him done in 3 weeks?
Because I think
in 5 years.
I think he's comfortable and confident in what he's comfortable and confident. And moving to a offense that fit Deshaun, I think, is a step outside his comfort zone. And I still think he's trying to have his cake and eat it too by calling the plays. I just don't think he's comfortable.
So I just wonder if he thinks he's got one hand tied behind his back here with all these injuries and everything else attached to it. I don't know.
If you're thinking like that, there's facing the reality of that, and then there's constantly living in that. Those are two different things. So my bigger point is, I think yesterday was about 25% on Kevin, the play caller. I think another 25% on Kevin, the leader. Actually, no. I'm going to chop those down to 15% each, because it was 50% on the O-line and then 20% on Deshaun.
Okay.
That was a lot of math.
That was, yeah.
I realized.
You were so adamant. You're like, no. I can't. Someone's gonna come back and yell about the 25%. I gotta knock this down.
Well, I also realized that I was like, 25%. I'm running out of percentages very quickly there. But no, I think it's 30% Kevin, half and half for the play caller versus the head coach. I think it's 50% that O-line.
Do they have enough talent right now?
Yes. Now,
okay.
Now it becomes health. It's the same team minus.
By the way, can I just point out too, for everyone's like, oh, Deshaun just got batted around and he got sacked a ton. Did you see some of the sacks around the NFL yesterday? Packers D versus Tennessee, there was 8 sacks in that game. Broncos D versus Tampa Bay, 7 sacks in that game. Steelers D versus the Chargers, 5 sacks in that game. Vikings D versus Houston, 5 sacks in that game. There were sacks everywhere yesterday.